9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Legislation forcing a sale of TikTok and sending billions in aid to Ukraine and Israel clears the U.S. Senate and heads to President Biden's desk.
America sends a message to the entire world. We will not turn our back on you. We tell our allies, we stand with you. We tell our adversaries, don't mess with us.
Plus, Tesla rallies after Elon Musk promises to speed up the rollout of cheaper EVs, and Google's cookie plans crumble under regulatory pressure. It's Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. Senate has passed a long-delayed bill sending more than $95 billion in foreign aid to Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel, and Gaza, ending months of debate that had split the Republican Party. The final legislation largely matches an earlier Senate bill, but included several changes made by the House, including the addition of sanctions on Russia and Iran. It also converted roughly $9.5 billion in Ukraine aid from grants into forgivable loans, a change designed to make the bill politically palatable to Republicans. And despite having to vie with some Senate lawmakers who opposed more money for Ukraine, Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called the bill's ultimate passage a turning point.
I think we've turned the corner on the isolationist movement. I've noticed how uncomfortable proponents of that are when you call them isolationists. So I think we've made some progress, and I think it's going to have to continue because we got big problems.
The bill also starts a one-year countdown for TikTok's Chinese-controlled owner ByteDance to find a new owner for the video app in the U.S. or risk a shutdown, though the matter is expected to be decided by federal courts. The bill now heads to President Biden, who said he'd quickly sign it into law today. Shares of Tesla have rallied off hours on news that the EV maker is accelerating the launch of new models, including at more affordable prices. Reporter Anna Hertenstein told me that the market reaction suggests that efforts by Chief Executive Elon Musk to assuage Wall Street concerns about Tesla's strategic direction have at least temporarily paid off.
This comes at a time when its earnings report was pretty rocky. We saw a 55% decline in profit from the year prior. Revenue was also down. So this feeds into this narrative that Tesla is in a much more precarious place than it's been in a long time, with sales falling, demand cooling for electric vehicles worldwide. We've seen its stock fall significantly, especially compared to other major companies in the S&P 500. But on the company's earnings call, Elon Musk had some comments that changed opinion about this to some extent. He said that Tesla had some new models in the pipeline, including some that they could sell at cheaper prices. And this is something that investors have been looking for, signals that Tesla could extend into the mass market.
All right, Anna, so Musk may be soothing some investor nerves there, though he also made some pretty bold promises, as he's known to do.
Absolutely. And this is the autonomous car initiative, which has been seen by the market as something quite risky. But rather than backing away from it, Musk actually emphasized the importance of Tesla achieving this goal. He even said that if somebody doesn't believe that Tesla is going to solve autonomy, he thinks that they shouldn't be an investor in the company. He also shared some new details about the company's plans for a robotaxi model and a ride-hailing network, saying it could resemble Airbnb.
Google has announced that it will miss its end-of-year target for eliminating third-party cookies on its Chrome web browser, marking a major setback in its years-long effort to improve consumer privacy on the internet. The changes have been eagerly anticipated by advertisers who use third-party cookies for everything from targeting ads to measuring the effectiveness of marketing campaigns, making them the basis for much of the $600 billion a year industry. The announcement came days before an expected status report from the UK Competition and Markets Authority, which is overseeing the company's global efforts to eliminate cookies. Just last week, we reported that the CMA had found Google's plans didn't go far enough to protect consumer privacy, according to a draft of that report. Google Now said that it plans to begin phasing out cookies in 2025 if it receives regulatory approval. And Oracle CEO Larry Ellison says the tech company will once again move its headquarters, and this time to better integrate with the medical industry. Speaking at an event in Nashville, Ellison said that Oracle has found a location in the Tennessee city that will house its new campus. The software giant had previously moved from California to Texas in 2020, and the following year completed a nearly $30 billion acquisition of electronic medical records company Cerner. By betting big on healthcare, Ellison is hoping to leverage one of the top growth drivers for cloud computing, saying the technology can make healthcare organizations more efficient by sharing data through Oracle's cloud services.
We're relatively new to the healthcare field, but there's a very common problem in data that the healthcare field suffers from terribly, which is the fragmentation of data and the fact we don't record information, we don't share information.
While few corporations have their headquarters in Nashville, several big tech companies, including Amazon, have a significant presence in the city. Coming up, Kathy Wood's ARK funds are facing an investor exodus. We'll look at why her bold bets on technology stocks haven't paid off despite this year's market rally after the break.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Well, investors this week are particularly focused on big tech as earnings from the likes of Meta, Alphabet, and Microsoft hit the tickers. And expectations are high, with the promise of strong returns on AI boosting some stocks. But for one key tech investor, the picture isn't so rosy. Kathy Wood, whose ARK funds soared during the pandemic as she made bold bets on disruptive technology, is now contending with an investor exodus. And here to explain why that is and what it tells us about the state of markets is Journal reporter Jack Pitcher. Jack, remind us about how Kathy Wood's fortunes have swung in recent years, and in particular, why investors seem to be jumping ship now, given that her funds have been middling for some time now.
Yeah. So Kathy Wood is a longtime tech investor who's run mutual funds at some of the big shops and then started her own fund about 10 years ago. Those became extremely popular during the pandemic, mainly because the flagship fund was going up so much. Her ARK investment management during 2020 and 2021 became the largest active ETF manager and had billions and billions pouring in, a lot from retail investors. The issue turned into, she was betting on pretty risky sort of speculative companies for the most part. A lot of them were unprofitable. They were doing well when rates were low and investors were taking a lot of risks. As soon as rates went up, the air kind of came out and a lot of those companies crashed hard and have not recovered all the way yet. We've seen the broader stock market come back well. But some of these smaller, riskier, newer, unprofitable tech companies that her funds focus on have not bounced back in the same way. And several years on from this big crash, the investors, many of whom are on very big losses based on when they bought it, finally seem to be giving up and pulling their money. Her funds so far in 2024 have had their worst outflows they've ever had as a portion of total assets. And her six active funds actually have lost about 30% of their assets just in 2024 so far.
I mean, from your reporting, it sounds like the frustration among investors here is partly because her investment philosophy really should be paying off right now, but it isn't. What are her holdings now? And why hasn't she been able to capitalize, for instance, on generative AI excitement that has propelled a lot of stocks higher?
Part of the problem is that a lot of the companies in here are smaller companies that don't make money yet, and they're still not performing well in the current rate environment. When it comes to some of the bigger companies in her fund, Tesla, which she has been a longtime investor in and bull on, is the largest holding. She doesn't have some of the other big tech names that you hear a lot about. Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla has been one of the S&P 500's worst performers this year. That has dragged the fund down, as well as some of the other names in here that were really popular. Pandemic plays, companies like Roku and Zoom were huge for her fund back in 2020, but their performance has really petered out since then as people have sort of moved off of pandemic trends.
Jack, as you said, Cathie Wood still has her fans. So does ARK. These stories are kind of fascinating in isolation. But I do wonder if they tell us something broader about changes underway within markets or about how individual investors are managing their money now after the pandemic.
I think it's a really good example of how things have changed now versus, say, 2020, 2021, when markets were also rallying a lot in a similar way. But now that the rate environment has gone up, there's bigger opportunity costs for taking big risks when you can be making 5% taking no risks. So some of the stocks that we've seen rallying now are different than what was happening 3 years ago. It's a lot of the biggest, best companies that make the biggest profits that have really excelled. And I think that's a big part of why investors are leaving Wood's funds this year. Some of them have stuck around for a while, I think, hoping their holdings are going to recover. But so far this year, her main fund is down around 20%. The S&P 500 is up. And when you're running an active stock picking fund, you're down significantly while the broader market is up. Investors are going to be leaving in a hurry.
That was Wall Street Journal markets reporter Jack Pitcher. Jack, thank you so much.
Thank you.
When Iowa superstar Caitlin Clark lit up this year's March Madness basketball tournament and propelled the women's final to top the men's in TV viewership, the gap between men's and women's sports looked like it might be starting to close. But when Clark transitions to pro sports after being the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she'll make a starting salary of just $76,000 compared to over $12 million for the NBA's top selection. And given that, we want to know what questions you have about the pay disparity between men's and women's pro sports. So send us a note, or even better, record a voice memo and send that to us at wnpod@wsj.com. That's wnpod@wsj.com, or call and leave us a voicemail at 212-416-4328. And if you do, just be sure to include your name and your location, because we might use them on the show. And before we go, heads up on a correction to Tuesday morning's episode. On it, we incorrectly referenced the merger between Coach and Michael Kors as an $8.5 million deal, when in fact the merger is worth $8.5 billion. And that is What's News for Wednesday morning. Today's show was produced by Daniel Bach and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.